to the whole show, powered by Chevron. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios here today. Glad you guys could be with us. 888-530-0043 is the First Advantage text line. I am Brady Hull. That is Michael Kirkpatrick. Raring to go today. It was an interesting day and an interesting night. Not for great reasons. Nuggets lose to the Mavs. And we had the Jim Mora press conference yesterday. So I'm going to get into some of that. Obviously, I ask only the hard-hitting questions, Michael. My first ever question to a pretty significant name in the football world was about mountain hiking or climbing or rock climbing. What do you think? It was not about players, coaches, philosophy, nothing like that. It was about what he does in his spare time to look shredded at 64.
Were you trying to get yourself invited?
Yes. And no. I would like the invite, but I don't want to go. So I would like the invite. I did. I brought up, because Hugh Millen told me this. We had Hugh Millen on the show last week, and he said, bring that up to him. Let him know that you talked to me about it. It got some laughs, Mike. So I don't want to say I'm a comedian, but I'm pretty darn close. You had John Weber, you had Jim Mora enjoying the conversation. And before I get these, I'm already getting them. People bitching at me, man.
Oh, you're fluff. You're asking softball questions.
Michael, there's 500 people there, fans. It is an introductory press conference. Do you think Jim Mora knows who his starting quarterback is right now? No, I'm asking you. Do you think he knows who his starting quarterback is right now?
I think he knows who his starting quarterback is. I think he should know everything, and I think he should win every game.
Let's be serious. I'm not playing Jedi mind tricks.
No, I was being the exact opposite.
Do you think he knows who his starting quarterback is?
No.
Do you think he knows who his entire coaching staff is?
Probably not.
Do you think he knows if he's going to be a run-first team or a pass-first team right now? The guy has done different things at different places, different game plans at Atlanta, different game plans at UCLA, different game plans at UConn. Do you think he really has his design and everything ready to go for spring ball on that day? I don't think so.
I think he has more of an idea than Norvell does. Norvell had his idea, and then that didn't happen.
Those introductory press conferences are typically, I'm going to say this politely, they're a nothing burger. They're a coach stepping out in front of the fans, and they say rah-rah stuff to get people excited. You could tell he was excited, though. Like, he stopped himself. He's like, no, I don't want to get in. I'm ready for this. I'm ready for that. I don't know. I don't want to get into that. He was really pumped up. That was cool to hear. He did drop a little interesting nugget in the press conference, Michael. Do we want to go there first? Because I'm already getting texts on this. You don't have it yet? Do you have the Jim Mora clip?
Oh, I did. I do. I just don't want to go there first.
You want to go with the Nuggets losing to the Dallas Mavericks first?
I say we start off the show with depression.
No, I don't want to start off the show with depression. In fact, first, Michael, let's start with the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. For more, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good was the Jim Mora press conference. You don't lose those things typically. Although it was interesting when Steve Adazio was announced. I know we're going there, and stay with me. When his press conference was rolling, as I'm walking into the press conference, UNC just literally announced that Ed McCaffrey would be the next head coach. So it was like kind of a weird day because the news of Northern Colorado was not Steve Adazio, a 500 coach from Boston College. The news of the day was former legendary wide receiver Ed McCaffrey for the Denver Broncos takes over as the head coach. This was good. CSU won the day. And it feels like CSU, amongst all the teams we talk about on this show, got that momentum back. The buy-in back. The excitement back. Jim Mora seems freaking awesome. I don't know how it's going to work once we do actually get into deeper conversations with him about X's and O's. But so far, it's exciting. And I want to talk about Jim here in just a moment. The bad Jamal Murray in the game last night looked like he twisted his ankle in the second quarter. gives it a go to start the second half, but then just can't. So he ends up leaving the game. And now we're waiting to see how serious it is at this point. David Adelman said he's hoping it was just kind of the night of kind of deal, and it's not serious. But the Nuggets, the ugly, they lost 131 to 121 to the now 7-15 Dallas Mavericks. They cannot play defense at home. Why is it that good offenses or bad to average offenses look like great offenses against the Denver Nuggets? Ryan Nembhard is a two-way player who had 28 points last night, 12 of 14 shooting, and 4 of 5 from the three-point line. Why is it, no matter what, Michael Malone or David Adelman, guys that shouldn't be making threes, just make threes all over the Nuggets. And the Nuggets are now on a four-home game. Is that how I'm saying this? Losing streak. The most that Joker experienced in his career, it was back when he, a four-game straight, four straight home losses, Mike. Joker was a bench player back on December 8th, 2015, when the Nuggets lost five straight home games. That was with Emmanuel Mudiay as the starting point guard. Gallinari, who just announced his retirement today. I loved Danilo Gallinari. Played 20 years professionally. 16 of those were in the NBA. They had Randy Foy. They had Kenneth Faried, J.J. Dickinson. Dixon? Is that Dixon? Not Dickinson. What am I saying? And Joker was coming off the bench. So the Nuggets haven't done this since 2015, where they've lost five in a row at home. We won't find out if they're going to lose five in a row at home until December 15th, I believe, when they take on the Houston Rockets. They're not going to be home for a bit. Maybe that's good for the Nuggets. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. If you guys want to chime in on the text line at all. John texting in on the text line. Did Jim Mora bring up Spider 2 Y Banana by chance? That's the thing. Like, I'm getting people that, and some were doing it in jest, like my guy Smitty, just messing with me. But there were some people that were like, hey, why are the CSU reporters, which by the way, I'm not a reporter, why are they asking such fluff questions? This is all softball. Even the athletic director, John Weber, looked at me and said, only softball questions or hard-hitting questions from Brady. Thank you. But it's a lighthearted environment. It's not one of those, why did you leave UConn? Well, I guess, like, most of the questions to start were like, why CSU? Why did you choose CSU? He answered those questions. He talked about his upbringing for several years in the state of Colorado. He probably brought up the Buffs a little too much. He did bring up Boulder a little bit. Thought that was interesting. He did thank Amy Parsons a lot for the facility, which Amy Parsons was not really a part of that when they built Canvas Stadium. So whatever. You know, you're learning your history. I'm pretty sure I called it mountain climbing instead of mountain hiking. Those are two totally different things, so we all screw up. But the most interesting part from the press conference was this. Jim Mora talking about when he started to get interested in the job opening at Colorado State.
In 2019, I sent a text to somebody here when the job was open expressing my interest. So that's when it got on my radar initially. I have a relationship with Jay Norvell. Jay coached for my dad. I grew up in this business, so I'm always very, very sensitive to the changes that take place. But as a football coach, we all understand that change is inevitable, and it's something that we have to accept if we're going to be in this business. When the program decided to move on from Jay, I was immediately interested. It renewed that interest that I had in 2019. And fortunately, you know, that interest led to me being able to sit here in front of all of you today as the new head football coach at Colorado State. And like I said, I'm ecstatic about it. I mean, I can hardly contain myself. I can't wait to get going.
So Jim Mora was interested in the job in 2019 when there was an opening after Mike Bobo. And CSU kind of more or less decided to just kind of separate. It wasn't a full-on firing or a coach quitting or whatever. It was health issues, all that, kind of a mutual agreement that this is probably the way to go. Not to say that if Mike would have fought, that CSU still wouldn't have fired him. But that was kind of my understanding of how that went down. So then the coaching search began, and names on there like Butch Jones, who had a scattered past, Kevin Wilson, who was the offensive coordinator at Ohio State, and Tony Alford, his name kept coming up, obviously, running backs coach for Ohio State at the time. He was a CSU alum. And they ended up with Steve Addazio. The guys being dudes guy. Kind of a 500 coach at Boston College. And Jim Mora had been, what, a year or two removed from UCLA at that point? But his resume at UCLA was more good than bad. He had three or four pretty good years and then two not so good years. And that's how college football is, man. You can have ten great years. But if you have two bad years, you're gone. So Jim Mora would have been a really interesting candidate. He wasn't a finalist. I don't know how far it got, but he said he was interested, and he said he reached out to someone there or here at CSU. Was that someone Joe Parker? Was that someone Joyce McConnell, who was the president at the time? I don't know. But it was interesting that he wasn't even listed as a finalist. Because that's a big name. It was a big name in 2019. It's a big name now. Now, he's got a little bigger name because of what he just did at UConn. Took that football program that nobody even realized had a football program and did something with them. But he was still a big name in football. That would have been a bigger name on this list. And my guess is Rams fans in 2019 would have liked his name over everybody else. Maybe Tony Alford, just because... Maybe not over him because he was a Ram, but that was fascinating to me that he was interested in the job in 2019, and he wasn't in the final cut. Now, to be fair, there could have been a dollar amount at that time that he wanted, and CSU couldn't even come close to it. But I honestly don't know. I would be curious. We're going to try to get him on the show at some point, and I would really be curious to know how far that got. Because I want to be careful here before we light Joe Parker or Joyce McConnell on fire again. I would like to just know, okay, was it a text of, I'm interested in the job, and then the response, they kind of get into money. I don't know. Maybe they were so far apart. Who knows? But that was fascinating from yesterday's press conference with Jim Mora. A couple of texts here on the First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Big Hub, former Ram, says, I never would have transferred if Jim Mora was hired in 2019. That right there shows Joe Parker wasn't capable of being an AD anymore at CSU. And again, I don't know all the details on that, but that's just another... I heard Kevin Lytle on Good Morning NoCo saying, you know, I'm sure Joe Parker wasn't thrilled that his name kind of got brought up and all this. And it's not that Jim Mora brought his name up directly, but he was the athletic director at that time. So just really interesting, because that would have been the hire. I like the hire now. Of all those names on that list, Jim Mora would have been the one. I would have said, yeah, that's the guy. I know it ended poorly at UCLA, but for the most part, it was pretty good. So I would have liked that over Steve Addazio. And again, Boston College, 500 coach. I put together a whole minute video. If you guys follow me on any of my apps, X, at Hull Show, or Instagram, just search Brady Hull or whatever. I got a YouTube channel as well. My old friend Scott Patchen, you remember Scott, Michael, former CSU Ram. He is obviously a family friend and played for Steve Addazio. He reached out, wasn't crazy about the video. We're going to talk about it. I'm going to have him back on the show on Friday. I'm looking forward to it, because he didn't really appreciate the fact that I threw Steve Addazio in there. Well, that's part of the history now. And Jim Mora, unfortunately, maybe not intending to, brings up bad memories for Rams fans and kind of poured some salt into a wound that a lot of people really thought was healed. But it's not healed. Texter, when Urban Meyer is involved, only those who coached with him had a shot. That was one of my issues with the whole thing. I've never been a big Urban Meyer guy, But I also don't like big wigs coming in, throwing their weight around a place that they're not going to stick around to see it through. Like, I don't even, Mike, I don't even know how I'd feel if Nick Saban showed up and was having dinner with John Weber, and it was like, well, Nick Saban chose Jim Mora to be the next coach. He advised John Weber to hire him. I don't love that because Nick Saban hasn't been 100% on all of his coaches. Not every one of them that he likes has gone on. I'm not saying they have a connection there. But I just never like the idea of some big wig coming into Fort Collins and saying, you know, really insisting that you hire this guy. He's going to be amazing. And then once it's done, shake hands, I'm out the door. I don't care what happens the rest of the way. See you later. This is the guy to get, though. And then he's not going to see it through. I don't want real. Now, I know they have a hiring firm and all that, and it's the difference. It's what they do for a living. So if they screw it up a lot, these hiring firms aren't, these search firms aren't going to be rehired to go for the next coaching search. So they have obviously a different interest. Urban Meyer, do you think he really cared what happened to CSU the minute he got on an airplane and left? I mean, sure, he's rooting for his buddy, but do you think he, like, oh, lived and died by it? And called Joe Parker up. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry it didn't work out. I don't think any of that stuff was going on. So I never liked that
idea. I think
idea.
He was in a bar, a babe on his lap.
Yeah. And then we found out later, seeing that kind of stuff, it's like, and we took advice from that guy. I never really liked that. It was a big name, and it was like, well, what's Urban Meyer doing in Fort Collins? But at the end of the day, he was in Fort Collins to try to help out Steve Addazio, help Steve Addazio get a job. And turns out that was one of the reasons why Addazio was hired. So, crazy day yesterday. Good day. Nothing bad from that. It's just kind of a revealing statement there. So, Jim Mora, my takeaways. Yeah, I mentioned the Amy Parsons thing. She's responsible for this facility that we're in right now. No, she came a little bit after that. But I whatever. I mean, I'm not. He'll learn about that stuff. It doesn't matter. Bottom line is Amy Parsons and John Weber just keep doing the right things. And we're going to see if this works out. We don't know. But you can cut this, Mike. Cut this here. I think it was a good move. With Addazio, it was a... It didn't feel like a good move. And I didn't say it was a bad move. It was more or less, okay, they're going with Steve Addazio. I guess the understanding is they're going to go with a 500 kind of coach at Boston College, see if he can turn that into above 500 with CSU. And I'll admit, with Jay Norvell, different story. I was excited about that. Not as excited as I am about Jim Mora, but I did like the idea of hiring Jay Norvell. So, Mike, I don't know. Is it going to work? Is he going to have the proper amount of NIL to do anything with? Is he going to hire the right coordinators? Because I don't believe he's like a nose in the play sheet kind of guy. He knows football, but like we talked about yesterday, don't they all? First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. The Nuggets are in trouble, Mike. I don't like this. I mean, it's still a good record. They're actually on pace still. I don't like this as much, but I did read it in the Denver Post. They're still on pace to have the most wins in regular season history. They're on pace to get over 57. But I don't like the fact that they can't play defense at home. And you have just wide open guys hitting three-point shots. We'll hear from Nikola Jokic coming up next, his clip for his post-game thoughts from last night on why they can't play defense. Does he have the answers? We'll find out. Coming up next, it's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
The Hall of Fame Preps Talk. Listen to Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 at Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination, and we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Grady Hall.
Well, you can tell everybody, yeah, you can tell everybody, go ahead and tell everybody, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man, yes I am, yes I am, yes I am.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Coming up in the 12 o'clock hour, we're going to have Mike Brohard join us. He got a couple of questions in, you know, more sophisticated than mine, I guess. People don't want to hear about mountain hiking or climbing. I mean, I think that's a big topic of discussion. So you're welcome, everybody.
People need to know the serious questions, like how many he's going to win.
Yeah.
What's the starting lineup?
Uh-huh.
What's the game plan? They need to know everything serious immediately
today.
Brady.
Yes, today. No, we want to know who the roster is. We want to know who the coaches are.
Haven't you ever seen an introductory press conference? I mean, those NFL ones, they're seriously grilling the new head coaches.
Did you see Lane Kiffin's yesterday? He's like, I called Ed Or. How do you say Ed Orgeron? How do you say his name? I always mess it up. Ed Orgeron, the former LSU coach. I'm blanking. I'm not blanking. I just can't say it. I've always had a hard time with it. But Lane's like, I called him and I just broke out into his accent because, man, I love it here. And he told me, Ed told me that this is the best place on earth. And of course, Lane Kiffin's going to be like, and it is.
Look at this gumbo.
As soon as the plane landed, you could feel it, man. Like, this is the best place on earth. Like, that's... And I don't think Jim Mora did that kind of thing yesterday. It was like, I like it here, and I grew up here. It's great. And he mentioned... The only reason I brought up the freaking mountain hiking thing was because he looked out at the mountains, and he said something about it. And I was like, okay, you know what? There's not a lot of deep questions going on here. I'm going to get him on the show at some point. We'll ask all those kind of questions. But... I'm going to have some fun here. And it was fun. I think people enjoyed it. Go Pokes texting in. The first step, no matter where you are, is getting money to match the expectations you have for the program. Meaning, what are you willing to pay players? And is that enough to meet your expectations for the program? Then you get the coaching staff you believe that will develop the players and position the team to win games. Yes. All those things, like right there, those are good questions at some point to ask. You know, how do you feel about the NIL situation? What kind of players are you targeting? What does your coaching staff look like? He doesn't know yet.
What's your favorite color?
And he can't tell you players like that he's looking at that are going to be in the portal. He can't talk about recruits until they are officially signed. Like if I bring up a specific name, but I can't bring, there's a guy that decommitted, Carter Emanuel, who's a quarterback prospect that had committed to UConn. He just pulled that back, and now he's got an offer from CSU. Like, that can happen, but is he going to... Orgeron, thank you. I have a hard time saying that name. And he does, too, if you've heard him talk. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Yeah, man. I mean, it's an exciting day for CSU for sure. But this all comes back to how much money do you have? Jim Mora is popular. Not going to keep Owen Long around? Doubtful if you don't have the money. Nuggets lose last night, Michael. Defensively, at home, they're just not good. The lowest score Denver has allowed during this home slump was 128 to Sacramento. The Nuggets have a 130.7 defensive rating across the four games combined. I mean, Dallas last night, this is not Luka's Mavericks, okay? They showed up to Ball Arena last night ranked dead last in offense. But Ryan Nembhard came in and He's on a two-way contract. He's not on their active 15-man roster, but he started at point guard. And he had 28 points last night, 10 assists, 12 of 14 shooting. Joker, after the game, we'll play about a minute or so of this, talking about losing at home and how he really sounds disappointed. He really sounds disappointed that they're losing at home. And he was also asked if, you know, he had any ideas as to why they're so bad defensively at home. Here's the Joker.
Well, I mean, defense was something that we didn't play a lot in the fourth quarter. We didn't execute it. We scored 17 points, so defense in the fourth quarter execution.
Nico, why do you think you're able to find defense on the road and not at home?
I really don't know. I mean, it just happens to be like that, seems like. I really don't know the answer.
When the defense isn't working, what's going wrong?
They're scoring too easy. We're not in the body. Offensive rebounds. Probably not where we're supposed to be. I mean, we're going to have a video tomorrow, so we're going to know probably better, but that's my opinion.
I think this is the first time in your career that you guys have lost four, or since you became a starter, that you guys lost four straight games at home. I'm just kind of curious what your reaction is when you hear four straight losses in Ball Arena.
I mean, it doesn't feel good to lose in front of our crowd, and I think the whole games were winnable for us. We were in all four of the games, but we just didn't execute. We didn't play our best basketball.
How much more difficult does it become to execute without Jamal Murray down the stretch?
I mean, of course, he's a great player for us, and he can score. He can get other people involved. So, but if someone is down, we cannot think about him. You know, we need to step. Some other guy needs to step up, and we need to find a way to win a game.
All right. I mean, that's kind of it. Yeah, it's difficult without Jamal Murray. Why aren't you playing better defense at home as opposed to on the road? They've won seven straight road games. One of the guys that's stepping up, though, is Spencer Jones. Spencer Jones is also a two-way player. I like this guy. He has such a weird-looking shot. His the way he just moves kind of looks more like a football player, like a linebacker or something. He had 28 points last night, 4 of 6 from the three-point line. Every three-pointer he shoots looks like it's going to be an air ball, but they're going in. 5 boards for him. I like him. Shout out to a friend of ours we've had on before, Vic Lombardi. He tweeted out about a month ago, Spencer Jones is a name that will quickly become a fan favorite amongst Nuggets fans. And boy, was he right. Just to listen, man, you're without three starters, or at least in that game, Jamal goes down, doesn't play pretty much the entire second half. I'm not going to sit here and make excuses, but I'm not going to ignore that. So what do I always say? The whole next man up thing, I go the opposite. They were a starter for a reason. They were your best option at that position for a reason. You remove your starting power forward. You remove your starting shooting guard. And now, potentially, you remove your starting point guard. It's going to get tough to win games. Jamal is listed now as a game time decision. He will be evaluated today. After the point guard, after he didn't play in the fourth quarter. Interesting text from Mike. Bruce Brown has been a bad signing. Bruce doesn't... I mean, there are moments where you kind of see the Bruce Brown stuff, where it kind of looks like he's the Bruce Brown of old, but I mean, these are moments, man. He's dribbling down the floor last night. He gets beyond the free throw line extended. Nobody's on him. And he just turns around and waits for Joker and hands him the ball. Like, you're not even going to try? Maybe his confidence is... I mean, he was 3 of 9 and 0 for 2 from the 3. Cam Johnson is still spotty. I mean, he was 1 of 6 from the 3 last night. He took 2 in a row, which come on. Missed the first one. Get that board. Let's slow it back down. They were pressing after they're not playing great defense. But I don't understand how they get so out of position defensively. You have a guy that's clearly hot in Ryan Nebhard, and nobody's guarding him? Like, he was 4 or 5 from the three-point line. He's clearly on fire. This is just one of those nights where he's got a touch. He's got the feel. Nobody's guarding him. Max Christie was 3 of 4 from the three-point line. He had two wide open threes that I can remember. Cooper Flagg, 24 points for him. And then Anthony Davis was doing Anthony Davis stuff, living and dying by that kind of that jumper right around the free throw line. He just dominates there. He had 32 points, 13 boards. Joker had a triple-double, but this doesn't look like a championship team right now. And again, with no Aaron Gordon, you guys know my feelings on AG, and no Christian Brown, who wasn't miraculous to start the season, but he's still your best option at two. Those are significant losses. Those are significant issues. We can't just ignore it. But at the same time, the defensive lapses I'm seeing at home especially, they're just not even on guys. Everybody on this roster has the ability to stay on a guy. They're fast enough, they're quick enough, they're smart enough. Doggone it, people like them. But they're just, for whatever reason, communication is off. They're getting lost on switches. I saw one play where there was an obvious answer. Cam Johnson thought he got fouled. And instead of running back on defense, he's still underneath his own basket, putting his hands up in the air, waiting for a ref to give him something. The problem was, by the time he started his run back to the other side on defense, everybody else was already across half court. He gets down there. Now, unfortunately, they missed the shot, but there was another wide open shot from Dallas because you're going 4-on-5. That's just little things you can't do when your defense isn't playing well. And your offense was on fire in the third. It was 36-33 in that third quarter as far as points scored. There was no defense being played. It was a score every time, up and down the floor. But then the problem was, you continued to not play defense in the fourth, and then the shots weren't coming for you. You couldn't hit anything. And you didn't have Jamal Murray in a fourth quarter when you really needed him. So they gotta regroup. First things first, we check on Jamal Murray. Hope he's okay. Now you got the Pacers. And the Pacers, obviously, with their situation, you know, they're, what are they, 4-17? I mean, with Tyrese Halliburton out for the season, they kind of all felt like, yeah, it's going to be a rough season. And it is. And then I mean, look at this. They got four road games, so maybe that's the ticket for them. Four in a row here. Tomorrow night against Indiana. Friday night at Atlanta. Atlanta's a decent team. And then you go to Charlotte and then Sacramento again. You played Sacramento 772 times already. But realistically, they should be wins. These are games you should win. You're 14-6. 42 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show. First event is text line is 888-530-0043. I want to shout out to Diamond Valley Collectibles. December 2nd, get your Christmas list taken care of. Start scratching that off. Man, you could probably take care of a lot of people in your family by going over to Diamond Valley Collectibles. Sports memorabilia, cards, Pokemon, the Funko Pops, all of it. So it is the Top Text Tuesday, and I have a $20 gift certificate. Good for Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. Best text of the day gets the $20 gift certificate. So I want good stuff here.
Brady is my favorite.
It's not a text.
Send.
It's not
Do
a
I get
text.
It?
No. Texter from the 970. The Nuggets aren't playing defense at home because defense doesn't exist in the NBA. Are we really gonna do this? Why are they playing defense on the road? If it doesn't exist, why are they playing defense on the road?
They're not playing defense on the road either because defense doesn't exist.
You know
the NBA.
My thoughts on this. Yes, defense sometimes struggles, but go tell OKC they don't play defense. Go tell them that. They will defend you so hard.
Give me their number and I'll call them.
Okay, 553. The problem is, I've always said this, offenses are better in the NBA. These guys don't have to go to underwater basket weaving classes. They don't have to go to bowling classes, like one of our interns had to do. They get to play basketball every day. They shoot hoops every day. They don't have to take a break and go to their classes and geology and look at rocks and all that stuff because that's so necessary. They're focused 100% on their shooting. Guy like Aaron Gordon can totally transform his game because he can just spend all his time playing basketball, not worrying about classes and all that. And they have way more games to play, therefore way more practices. Offenses are better in the NBA. Sometimes defensively, yes, it's a choice because these guys can all play defense. Carmelo Anthony could have played defense. It's just a choice. And right now the Nuggets are choosing not to play great defense at home. 11:50 the time. We're going to take a short break. Top Text Tuesday. Best text of the day wins thanks to our friends at Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. Get that freaking Christmas shopping done. You don't want to waste time. Don't wait for it. Get over there. Tell them we sent you from the whole show. Powered by Chevron. Best text of the day wins. We'll be right back.
Leaving? Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas.
Merry Christmas from all of us at Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We're all in this together.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. And you know what? The Rams are they're playing the game. Now, I got another one here. Kevin Lytle just tweeted this out from Xavier Wimbush. Thank you, UConn, for all of your support and opportunities. But after much consideration, I will be flipping my commitment to Colorado State University. Go Rams. He is a Xavier is a three-star defensive back. So expect to see more of that. Interesting story I'm going to go over later on in the program. This is from SI.com headline. Jim Mora trying to poach UConn 2026 quarterback commit. Yeah, this guy I'm following, Carter Emanuel. He was their 2026 quarterback commit. Has received an offer from Colorado State. He made the announcement himself, posting on X. He said, extremely blessed to receive an offer from Colorado State University. So, again, this is how it there's no shock here. This is how it goes. This is what happens when you go somewhere, you flip the program, you do well, you go somewhere else, good players are going to want to follow you. You don't even have to be talked to. They're going to enter the portal or they're going to look at that. Or guys like Carter Emanuel, who's a recruit, who's a high school guy, still trying to figure out where he's going to go. Well, he's probably going to go to UConn because Jim Mora was there. So that would just be my guess. Just throwing it out there. Hail Mary, I suppose. All right, coming up next, we got top stories of the day. Jackson Dart, weird missed field goals. BYU, former friend of Ed Lamb in the news today. We'll get to that. And so much more. It's The Whole Show, powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.